Good morning. Two quick things before we get started. Number one, funny story, true confession. I was in here on Friday practicing this with Brandon, and Kyle, Brandon, and I have talked about this. It is the most nerve-wracking thing in the world to preach to one person. And so I was preaching with Brandon on Friday, but one of the things we talked about that's so weird is when, you know, the room is filled, when there's the body of Christ is gathered, there's just a different feeling. So thank you all for being here today. I feel way less nervous. I feel way more prepared, and I feel way more ready. But secondly, I want to say a couple quick thank yous. First, thank you to everybody who is here for allowing me to come and speak. You have a very able preacher and pastor in Brandon, and so I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity. I do not take it lightly. I also want to thank Brandon, Kyle, for giving me this opportunity. A couple of guests are with us today. My parents are here. Some of you may know them. They're sitting with my Aunt Laura and Uncle Carl. My best friend and someone I consider a brother is here with me. You guys know him as well. He's interning here too, Keaton Washburn. So thank you to everybody here. Thank you. If you'd pray with me, and we will begin. God, we do not take lightly approaching your throne, approaching who you are, and approaching what you have for us. And so today, as we gather as a family, today as we gather as the family of God, to come before you, to see what you'd have us to learn, we ask that you would give us ears that are responsive to everything that we hear. We ask that you give us hearts that are ready for the challenge that you have to give us. God, and we also pray for hands and feet that are willing to do the work that you've called us to. Help us to understand today as we open up your word that the people who you bring salvation to are not limited by our eyesight, are not limited by our thoughts, and are not limited by the way we think that you would work. May the testimony we hear this morning be one that gives you praise. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever found yourself wondering, maybe as you watch your favorite sports team or listen to music on the radio, that there's no way that God could save that person? Be honest with me, if you would. Maybe you're watching the Cubs as they play a rival team, and you see that player on the other team that just represents everything that seems evil to you. And you say to yourself, there's no way he could come to know the Lord. There's no way that that person could believe in God. Maybe we flip over to the music scene and we hear the new hit single that comes out that tops the charts. No way that person who sings about those things, wears that, and is with those people, no way could they ever come to know the Lord. But maybe it's not just that sports star. Maybe it's not just that pop icon. Maybe it's something that's closer to home. Maybe it's that person you see at work every day, and you hear the way they talk to their wife on the phone. You hear the way they talk to their husband on the phone. You hear the way they interact with people, and you think to yourself, there's no way God could touch that person. Maybe it's even closer. Maybe it's that family member. Maybe it's that relative you only see at parties. And they've seen how you live. They know that you go to church. They know that you do all these things. But time after time after time, you see no change. And so you begin to tell yourself, there's no way the gospel could be given to that person. There's no way that person could come to a belief in Jesus Christ. If this is the case for you and for me, maybe it's worth us reshaping our definition of the gospel. Maybe we shouldn't say that the gospel has the power to save everyone. Rather, we could say the gospel has the power to save those who it makes sense to us would be saved. Thankfully, that is not the truth. Thankfully, the people who you and I think could be saved and the people who you and I think couldn't be saved all come under the umbrella of God, who says, I save who I save. The gospel is for everyone. And so today we're going to hear in a moment a story of one who, if you had met him, if you had known him, if you had seen the way he lived, if you knew what happened behind closed doors, you, like me, would say, there's no way that man could ever come to know the Lord. He was the loudest of the loud, the most arrogant of arrogance. And he found himself at the helm of one of the worst cities in the Bible. Yet this man would stand before you today and would say, and call you brother or call you sister and say, I am a believer in God. I have been touched. I have been chased down by God. How could this be the case? This is the case because the ever-chasing God, who we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, the ever-chasing God does not look at ethnicity, does not look at heritage, does not look at where you have been, rather sees his love and desires to give it to those who would receive it. So the man that you are going to hear from this morning is a man who has been touched and changed by God. And it's my hope and prayer that as we hear from him, that we would together learn that the ever-chasing God saves whoever would accept and believe in him. And that we'd also learn that the ever-chasing God asks you and I to partner with him. So join me together now in welcoming the King of Nineveh as he comes and shares testimony of all that the Lord has done. God did not do it. At least he hasn't yet. We are still here. He is so faithful. He is so true. Oh, forgive me. I didn't realize all of you there gathered. Allow me to introduce myself. I am a king in the Assyrian Empire. Maybe you've heard the town that I am a king of. I am the king of the greatest town within our empire. So many loving people, so many people as far as the eye could see, loving and living with one another, a great place. You should come and visit sometime. I am the king of Nineveh. By your reaction, it sounds as if you've heard of my town before. That's great. I hope to see you there soon. We're a wonderful place. And we're a wonderful place that has been touched and changed by God. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start at the beginning. Our town, Nineveh, is a town great in size. Because of our streets and because of our building structures, it would take someone 3 days to enter in and come to the center of our town. Most recently, there was a man who came into our town, and he came just a day's journey. He found himself in the midst of the streets, and when he had come into our town, and when he had come into our streets, he came in a small voice, in a voice as if so many couldn't hear him. He gave us a word that said, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. I don't know if you heard me or not, but a man came into my town, the town that I am the king over, and said, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, I'll help you guys understand with me, because obviously you're not getting it. Imagine someone comes into your town, steps right on the rim of your town, stands, and in a voice where him and maybe people just within arm's length can hear him, says, in 40 days, your town will be overthrown. Thank you. No way. No way. He delivers this message, and now as I hear the story and as I tell it to you again, I think to myself, had things in Nineveh really gotten that bad? Had things in Nineveh gone from a place that we'd be worth being overthrown? Sure, there was gossip. I mean, but isn't there gossip everywhere? Sure, people lied and steal and all these things happen, but doesn't that happen everywhere? Had things really gotten that bad that we were to be overthrown? Hopefully you, like me, as you hear this story, begin to think to yourself, what would cause someone to be overthrown? There's no way things could have gotten that bad, right? I mean, we tried our hardest, right? We did all that we could. Well, that was the word that had been given. And see, as I said before, our friend who came into the town came but a day's journey in. And I don't know if you understand this, but when you come a day's journey into our town, you're barely going to see anybody in the town. So the few that were gathered with him, and the even less who actually heard his message, you may wonder, as I did, what was their response to this? Our city's going to be overthrown. Oh, I'll show you how to be overthrown. No. The craziest thing happened. See, when the man came in and said, 40 days and your city will be overthrown, those who heard them, rather than picking up stones, rather than winding back fists, fell before the man and began to cry out and repent over what they had done. Began to cry out and seek the Lord. Began to cry out and ask for forgiveness for what had been done. Now, you may ask me, how do you know that this has taken place? And, well, here's the crazy part. It wasn't just those few who heard the man who fell and repented and believed, but it was people all throughout the town. It was people the 2 more days' journey who fell. It was people on the outskirts of the other side of the town who fell. Person after person after person fell and believed in God. How does one believe in God when all that they hear, in 40 days, your city will be overthrown? There has to be another voice speaking. It had to not just be the voice of this man. And I know it wasn't just the voice of this man, because not only did those who were within earshot fall, not only did those on the outskirts of town fall, but the word came to me on my throne. I was in my palace enjoying another day of being king of Nineveh. But while I sat on my throne, a voice unlike any other voice I had ever heard, with a word unlike a word I had ever been given, said to me, "You are forgiven." And at this, and at hearing this, I fell to my knees and believed. And as I arose from my knees, and as I came from my time of belief, I knew something had to be done in our city. And so I joined those who had heard of him when he was with them. I joined of those who had heard on the outskirts of town. And we came together and began to repent and believe. To repent and believe. I took it a step further, in fact. I took off my royal garb and I adorned myself with sackcloth. And I covered my face with ashes. For I was going to seek the Lord because of what he had done. I went a step even further, though, and I came and I brought all of my nobles together. And we made a decree. We issued a decree throughout the whole land. All of the people in Nineveh were to fast. Man, woman, livestock, everyone was to fast. And everyone was to come and seek the Lord and repent. And so I gave this decree across all of the land. And to my surprise, everyone came. Not just those who had heard the man, not just those on the outskirts, not even just me. Everyone in our city came, and we gathered together, and we began to repent. Maybe the term repentance is new to you. I know that it's new to me, but the way I understand repentance is this. That repentance is an inward change in my heart that happens at the same time I believe in God. I don't believe in God and then down the line begin to repent, but my repentance assists me in my belief in God. The two happen at the same time. And so repentance then is that inward change within our heart in which we forgo the things we used to do. We forgo the things we used to say. We forgo the things we used to be about because we recognize them in our belief as wrong. And as our repentance shapes our belief, we believe in God. Repentance and belief come and came into my life as one in the same. Now, the question you may be asking yourself as you hear this is, the only reason you repented was because you were scared of what the man had to say, wasn't it? Be honest with me, if you would, for a moment. Is there anyone here today who's thinking the only reason you people have repented is because you heard what was to come? Understandable. But let me... I have an answer to that. See, because repentance, at least that's how I understand it and how my people understood it, we did not repent for fear of what was to come. We repented because of what had been done in our lives. We didn't repent for fear that our city would be overthrown. Rather, we repented because we had seen God. He had touched us with his love and we believed. See, repentance is a response to prior things that have happened, not an action in fear of what is to come. And so I'm here to tell you today that me and my people, we did not repent saying, if we do this, God will spare us. We repented because we saw God has done this. So we gathered together, and as I think of this, see, we repented because we'd been shown the love of God. We repented because we'd seen the faithfulness and truth of God. As I think to myself, those who have been shown the love of God, repent. If there is no repentance, we don't understand the love of God. Those who have experienced the faithfulness of God, repent. If there is no repentance, we do not understand the faithfulness of God. We repented, and we repent still, because we have known and experienced the love and faithfulness of God. And another thing that happened as we were doing this, as we gathered together, as we were on our knees, seeking the Lord, we began to think and see in ourselves all that we had done wrong. The gossip had gotten to that point. The lying had gotten to that point. We began to see ourselves for what we truly had become. And when we saw ourselves truly as we had become, the love and faithfulness of God spoke all the louder. See, because I know myself. I know the things that I have done. I know the things that I have said. I know the way that I've interacted with other people. I have known the thoughts that I've had, and I've known where I've been. And when I heard the voice speak to me, I knew he knew too. I knew the voice that spoke to me knew where I had been. The voice that spoke to me knew what I had said. And the voice that spoke to me knew who I was. And so when that voice said that I was forgiven, when that voice said that I was loved, I knew that I had been forgiven and loved by one who knew me. not one who had nothing to do with me. I knew that forgiveness had not simply been extended to me with eyes covered. Here you go. I know that love hadn't been extended to me as far as he could get away and still give it. No. I knew that forgiveness and love had been given to me by someone who had come around me and wrapped themselves around me and said, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. I know what you've thought. You are forgiven. And that's why I fell to my knees. And that's why our people fell to their knees. We didn't fall to our knees in any hope or any idea or any plan that something different could happen than the word that had been given. We didn't even have time to plan. We heard the word and we fell on our faces. See, because when we heard the authentic and true word from God, all that we could do is believe. There wasn't time to deliberate. There wasn't time to come up with this plan. There wasn't time to think of ourselves. Rather, there was only time to see the forgiveness we had been given and respond. And so we, as a people, responded. And as we gathered together, the chorus quickly became, who knows? Maybe, maybe, just maybe, God will relent. Maybe at seeing the change that's happened in our life, he might do it. Maybe at seeing the way we have now decided to live, he might do it. Maybe. But our chorus continued as maybe. See, because though me and my people have not known the Lord for that long, we do know one thing. What he decides is true and right. And so we did not come into our repentance and saying, when we do this, he will change. When we do this, he will change. Rather, we came in and said, if we do this, as a response from our heart, as a result of what we have experienced it, maybe there may be change. I stand here today. In just about a week, it will have been 40 days since that message had been given. And I stand here today not sure of what God will do. But I also stand here today and can say to you that if God chooses to destroy Nineveh, he is right in doing so. If God chooses to destroy Nineveh, he is good in doing so. And if God chooses to destroy Nineveh, we accept. But I will also tell you that if God chooses to not destroy Nineveh, we will sing from the highest building the praises of the Lord. Not because we deserved it, but because he relented. If God chooses not to destroy Nineveh, we will stand as a people, understanding the forgiveness we've been shown, desiring to live a new life. If God does not destroy Nineveh, we will stand as his people to do what he would command us to do. Whether God wills to destroy or wills to keep us, whatever may come, we will sing the praises of God. And as you hear my story, maybe you're here today and you feel like one who God could not save. I hope that my life. I hope that as I stand before you, you see that we serve an ever-chasing God. We serve a God who has come into the city of Nineveh and by his mouth spoke, and we all believed. God chases after those who he loves and desires that they would come and believe in him. That's as true for me as a king as it was for those on the outskirts of our town. That's as true for me as a king as it was for those in the middle of our town. That's as true for me as a king as it is for all of you who are gathered here today. There is no one outside the reach of the love of God. And so, I ask you to hear the word that the Lord has spoken. To know, like I know, that when I heard that I was forgiven, knew that I was forgiven of all that I had done, thought, said, and was. And to simply fall and believe in God. But there may be others here today, and your situation is not like mine. You haven't been wandering to things you shouldn't be, and you haven't been saying things that you shouldn't be, and you haven't been thinking things that you shouldn't be. Rather, you stand today and hear my story and say, "That's not me." Well, maybe you're like the man who came into our town. I never got the name of that man, but I sure know now who had sent him. And so I ask, as one who has received the love and faithfulness of God, to those who have already received it, would you be not like the man who came to our town? He came but a day's journey. He interacted with no one. He didn't get to know our people. He didn't get to know their story, what they had done. We don't get to know people in a day, do we? We don't get to understand people in just a moment, do we? But this man came into our town, and as if he didn't even want to be there, spoke in a voice as if he didn't wish that we would hear, and gave us a message that I'm pretty sure was incomplete. He didn't even give us the name to call out to. He didn't even give us an opportunity to change. He simply came and spoke judgment. And so I speak to you who are in here, who are not like my story, but maybe like his. Would you allow yourself to be used by our great God to not simply speak judgment, but to speak love and truth, to speak the name of our God? Because though I haven't known God for a while, I think I'm beginning to understand that when God gives his word, when God does what he has willed to do, he wants you and me to be involved. He doesn't simply want to give himself. He wants you and I to be involved with him. So I ask you today to have compassion and care for people like me. I ask you today to have true and real feelings of grief for people like me, who before the Lord spoke, did not know him, who before the Lord came had no chance. Would you be unlike the man who came? Would you instead partner with our great God in the process of ever chasing down those who will believe? As I look at the clock, I've realized I've spent more time here than I thought that I should. I guess I lost track of time. Forgive me. I have to get back to my people. But before I go, if you'd allow me, may I pray with you to our God. Brother to brother, brother to sister, may I pray for us. God. God, you are great. God, you are true God. I thank you for the love that you have shown to me and to my people. I thank you for the love that you have shown to these people. God, I thank you for the faithfulness you have brought about to these people, God. And so, God, I just ask, would you allow these people to partner with you in what you have for them? Would you allow these people to partner with you in sharing of your great, great grace, in sharing of your great faithfulness, in sharing of your great love to those who need it the most? God, would you reveal to these who are gathered, as you've revealed to me and my people, the desire you have that we would continually repent before you. God, that if we have experienced your love, we will repent. And that if we have not repented, we know not your faithfulness. God, be with these people. God, hear these words from one whom you have loved. And bless them. And change them. I pray. To the Lord God, whom salvation comes from. Amen. Excuse me if you would, I have to return to my people to see and continue to repent, to see what the Lord will do. Blessings.